Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now, a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. And finally, talk to your attorney before taking action. Good luck.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's San Francisco area attorneys, a partner men can count on, online at CordellCordell.com. Offices in San Francisco, San Mateo, and San Jose. Se habla español. Legal services available in English and Spanish. Kimberly Llewellyn, licensed in California.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
Hey guys, I'm Uma Paganampakepagan. Joining me as always is Ian McNally. And we're going to talk about Paddington 2 today.
No subtitle.
No subtitle. And just, oh, what a great film.
It's a little fresh in the heart.
It is.
Not in the mind, on the heart, on your sleeve.
We just got out of the cinema. We've wiped away our tears, happy tears, mind you.
Yes.
And we've watched yet another rendition of Michael Bond's classic tale, with everyone in English cinema or television in it.
Yes.
Everyone. Like, I can't think of a person that isn't.
It's not just everyone. It's everyone we like.
It is. Hugh Bonneville, Sally Hawkins, Hugh Grant, Michael Gambon, Imelda Staunton. Who else is in it? Julian Walters is in it.
Judy Walters, yeah.
Sanjeev Bhaskar, Jessica Hines.
Jim Broadbent with a dodgy accent.
Jim Broadbent is in it.
Tom Conti blew me away. I always love it when Tom Conti pulls up and stuff. He seemed to be ever present at the certain time we got the movie channel back in Ireland. And it was on all the trailers. And then, you know, whenever he turns up now, it's just a nice little surprise.
Mira Shiles in it for like 2 minutes. Richard Ayoade is in it for like a minute and a half.
Just like in small roles, but they're like, they give the whole production an air of familiarity and warmth.
Brendan Gleeson is amazing.
Prison Santa Claus, basically.
He is Knuckles spelt with an N.
Yes.
And here's the thing. I mean, this is the very epitome of the kind of children's movie that I would have absolutely adored watching as a kid and just watch it over and over and over again. I mean, it's got funny jokes. It's got a really pacey plot.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a very wholesome resolution to something that is quite sinister to start with, right? I mean, the crime that occurs with Hugh Grant, I mean, we know Hugh Grant's the bad guy. If you've seen the trailers, it's very obvious. And the crime that Hugh Grant commits and the consequences of that crime are quite sinister. And as a kid, I can imagine myself going, and yet it plays out in such a lovely, wholesome manner that it's so family friendly.
Yeah.
I've not seen a family-friendly movie like this that's good in a long time, that isn't cloying or cheesy or...
It works on so many levels.
Yes, it does. The jokes land.
Yeah, the jokes land. And not only do they land, they're fired from a catapult at the beginning of the movie and land at the end of the minutes.
At the very end of the film.
There are several jokes. And the first one did this a bit as well. There's several jokes that are just like throwaway descriptions of things that are happening with the family or something else. And they all come back and they never feel cheated.
Actually, that's a good point. We have to mention, the first movie was also very, very good.
Yes, and the first trailer for the first movie put me off so much, I only watched the first one recently.
That was like Paddington trying to use a toilet, right? The trailer?
It was like, ugh, it was almost as bad as the Peter Rabbit trailer that came out recently with James Corden. And I thought, oh, this is going to desecrate a British icon. And then it came out and it's like, no, they made and embraced They made a movie that embraced everything that was good and right and true about the originals. And this one does it even further. This has an animated sequence that looks like it's ripped from the books.
Books, exactly, which is very, very cool. And I love the way that they kind of transition between the live action and CG to... the animated stuff to some hand-drawn stuff and then back again into this miraculous scene with a pop-up book. Yeah. I mean, everything kind of flows into one another just seamlessly.
Mm. And there's another sequence later on where it's like he's dreaming of Peru again, and instead of just having him be there, they just grow a forest around him.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you don't know what's going on, but it's lovely.
It is.
It's a lovely movie.
No, you're right. You're absolutely spot on when you say that the people who've made this film, the people who've written it and directed it and produced it
and starred in it,
are huge fans of Michael Bond and his work and are true to what the Paddington character is and what the books mean, right?
It's an immigrant song.
It is an immigrant song.
To cram that reference in one more time.
And yeah, I mean, it's a long time since I've seen an adaptation where people aren't trying to do something different.
I think it is kind of do something different, because the London that it creates is very much like the Montmartre of Amelie, or, Manhattan of early Woody Allen works.
No, but it
like,
is. But it
they've created this multicolored, multicultural London that is like a warm blanket in these post-Brexit times.
But yeah, exactly, because it's still an old-fashioned movie. And Paddington's an old-fashioned story. They haven't tried to modernize it or update it or change the characters in any way. He doesn't have a mobile phone. He's got to seek out an old-fashioned red phone box to make a call, right? I don't know how many of those actually still work in London, but he found one. And I love that they stuck with that old-fashioned storytelling and the old-fashioned depiction of characters. There's a wonderful scene at the very beginning of the film where, you know, Paddington is just running through the town on his way to work, on his way to the antique shop to meet people, right? And it's a very old execution, right? You know, he jumps on a bike, he says hello to people, he
helps
them out.
He gets a lift with the bin
man. Yeah, exactly. And it's so charming.
Yeah, but it's...
And it's a great way to introduce all the characters.
It's a really good... This movie, and the first one had it as well. Like, the first one was like, how do we treat immigrants? Because it's like the first time Hugh Bonneville sees Paddington, it's like, oh, don't look, there's a bear over there. Like, no one, it's not that he's a bear. Like, you could actually put in Syrian or Iraqi or something like that, and it would still work. Maybe not the marmalade sandwiches thing, but for the most part. And it's this kind of, you know, polite ignoring of it. Whereas the movie talks about we're better as a cultural quilt all tied together. And this one just doubles down on that in the nicest, most warm-hearted, big-hearted way.
A big-hearted way and not an obvious way.
No.
There are no moments...
It never feels cloying.
No, there are no moments of preachiness, right? I mean, everything is driven and motivated by the story that they're trying to tell, or this singular adventure that Paddington seems to be embroiled in. At no point does someone stop and give a monologue about the importance of treating bears well.
Yes, or there's no point where they have a song where it's all we should all, you know, live together and kumbaya. Yeah. They don't do that at all.
No,
there is
exactly.
A musical number at the end, but that's very different.
That's very different, right? I mean, of course.
And out of nowhere.
No, which is a great moment. And I think just Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant does well.
Hugh Grant seems to have figured out who Hugh Grant is now.
Correct.
As opposed to who Hugh Grant was 10, 15 years ago. And he was fantastic in The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which not many people saw. And that seemed to be the beginning of the reconnaissance.
The reconnaissance. Nice. I like it.
That's just stepping off the reconnaissance. But like, for a while he was in that weird spot. Whereas in...
Well, he was still stuck between kind of aging teen idol mode, right? He didn't
know... And also arrested for...
Oh. Prostitution and all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he wasn't arrested for prostitution. He was arrested for soliciting.
Soliciting, sorry. He wasn't a prostitute. No, that's right. That would have been a far funner story.
Yeah, that left him in a weird place for a while. He was doing the Bridget Jones things, kind of. He did age gracefully in those. But in The Man from U.N.C.L.E., he kind of embraced being an elder statesman and a kind of a big brother to Armie Hammer and Henry Cavill.
Yeah.
And in this, he's just gone full pantomime dame. He's basically... There's scenes in this movie that are set in a prison that looks eerily like Laurence Olivier in the Italian Job, only with like song and dance thrown in. And I think he's going for that kind of theatrical camp, and it works fantastically.
This is one of those rare occasions where a sequel, I think, has outdone the original.
Mm-hmm.
The original was absolutely delightful, but this one, I was laughing, I was enjoying it, I was taken back to my childhood where I was reading those books, and I was just waiting for him to get to Paddington Station.
Which he did in the first one, and he did.
Which he did in the first one, right?
And this one, and I really love that, because I lived next door to Paddington Station at one point for 3 months, and I was wandering through that station all sorts of hours looking for fast food. And it was nice to see, like, they used that. They didn't use another station and dress it. It was Paddington Station, and it had real steam trains in it. And it just felt like this, it's like the England, you know what I mean? It's like this vision of England that is not, homophobic or racist or weird or, you know, too conservative or this. It's this kind of, like I said earlier, a warm blanket that you can wrap yourself in and have marmalade sandwiches and just feel at home, no matter who you are or where you're from.
It is the kind of movie you want to watch on Christmas morning.
And it has a moment that reminded me of The Abyss, which I did not expect to see in this. And it was one of the most devastating things I've seen in cinema this year. As I was watching it, I was frantically scribbling down, like, this moment is like almost like my moment for the year. You know what I'm talking about? There's two characters looking at each other.
At the end.
Yes.
Yes.
That just devastating. Absolutely.
And one of them was computer generated.
Yes. And the other one was actually underwater. Like, it wasn't a fakey, you know, dry for wet or that kind of stuff. Like, there's just attention to care and detail. And that moment makes so much sense. And then something else happens and then it's complete waterworks.
No, and I think that's exactly what these movies are so good at, right? Even the first Paddington movie, when you're making a children's movie, there are times when people take things for granted because they think they're making a children's movie. They think they can get away with a bit of slapstick humor and things have to tie in together.
Yeah, which was something that bugged me a little bit about the first one, because his slapstick, I never got that from the books.
Right.
And it kind of bugged me a little bit. I like that's evolved to this point where halfway through the catastrophe he's about to get into, he realizes it and it's like, oh no, one pink sock.
That's right.
Or, oh no, that's not the haircut he wants. You know what I mean? He knows it's wrong. It's just that he's slightly messed up this time. As opposed to the first one, which I felt like, oh, don't do that. You know what I mean? I had a slight feeling of that.
Wait a minute, where's the bucket?
Yes.
The timing for that joke was pristine.
That was fantastic. So no, I felt that he had a bit more agency, whereas it was bumbling before. Now it's like he's just catastrophe ridden.
But with this movie, so much care and attention has been placed on the progression of that story and plot. Like you said, it wasn't just the jokes. It was the setup of the narrative as well. So everything had a payoff, even at the climax when they're taking down the bad guy or they're saving Paddington or whatever, any of that stuff. All of that stuff, nothing came out of left field, right?
Yes.
Everything was a payoff from something that had been mentioned at some point in the film.
And we should say, stay after the credits as well, during the credits as well, because there is a scrapbook section, in which some of the jokes still pay off.
They do. They do. Some of the jokes are set up for a single image in the scrapbook section in the freaking credits.
And it works so well. I mean, I wanted to look at the cast list because, as I said, we said earlier, there's just so many good English actors and comedians in this movie.
This is not just a movie for your kids. You're going to love it as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's. We can talk this along without mentioning that Doctor Who is in it. Peter Capaldi's in it, and he's great as a curmudgeonly old guy. And I think we should also mention Ben Whishaw, because he does... His voice is like pure innocence.
Ben Whishaw is amazing.
Yeah.
His voice makes this movie. He voices Paddington Brown. And there is something about, it's not just innocence, there's a trustworthiness to his voice.
Yes.
You believe everything he says to you.
Yes, and if you don't, you're going to get the hard stare, which is a fantastic joke from the first movie, which came back again. And having the victim of the hard stare this time, like, it caught me completely unawares in the first one. And the second time was like, this is the perfect time for this joke. If you get to use this joke once per movie, this is the perfect time to do that. And I hope they get to use it in a lot more of these movies, because they are, it's so clever and good and bright and colourful as well. I mentioned Sally Hawkins, Hugh Bonneville. Sally Hawkins' wardrobe is also just like, it just brightens up your day.
The movie was originally supposed to be distributed by the Weinstein Company.
Oh, yeah.
But Warner Brothers actually bought it over.
Oh.
So that's why you don't see any trace of the Weinstein Company in this film. And I'm glad you don't, because I wouldn't like even just that name affecting people's decision to go and watch this movie.
You don't want to besmirch the purity of this movie.
No,
it's a very pure movie.
It's a very innocent movie, right?
Like even Hugh Bonneville's Mr. Brown character is like supposed to be slightly grumpy and slightly square, but like he's not. He still sells it. He still gets the change when he needs to do the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same in the first one as well, where he did that as well. Everyone is on their point. It's on game. I mean, the next one just has to have Judi Dench in it, and that's it.
That's all we need. Judi Dench. Get Kenneth Branagh to direct it. Yeah. Paddington 2 is now in cinemas. Go check it out. Take your kids. Take your kids. They're going to absolutely love it. Yeah. You can tweet us when you've seen it. I'm on @UmarPagan.
I'm on @McNastyPrime.
You've been listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take drill sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or black forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.